coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Dan Weider in a minute. I do want to update you on the Sox situation. They have moved their Zooms to about now. And Jesse Rogers just texted us telling us that Rick Hahn is going to speak.
This is breaking news. Powered by PointsBet Sportsbook.
Damn, that's
on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Nick Madrigal has torn his hamstring.
Oh, my gosh.
And will go on the 60-day injured list.
He completely tore the hamstring.
There was two options, surgery or no surgery.
They're weighing the surgery versus non-surgery. He'll be inactive for 6 weeks, and they will weigh the options and report later.
It's sports. You are exposed to injury for sure, but this team with their everyday lineup has been, like, in a lot of ways decimated by the injuries. You got Robert out, you got Aloy out, and now you got your starting second baseman out for a minimum of 6 weeks, right? Didn't they say 6 weeks?
No, I mean, 60 days. So that's 2 months matter what, right? It's going to be interesting to see how Rick Hahn plays all these injuries with guys who they hope to get back. They still have their pitching intact. I mean, can you continue to just plug and play and get along? I mean, this is a guy who led your team with hits. He does it a different way. I know I've had fun with some Sox fans about Madrigal.
He's been better defensively, too.
And he's been driving the ball now, too. Yeah. He had that double in the gap last night. And you mentioned the defense. He got one in the hole yesterday.
At some point, they're going to have to add something, aren't they? I mean, that starting rotation is too damn good to not supplement with something added. They're going to have with something.
And I'm talking about, like, a premier player. Like, do you go after a premier outfielder with the hope that Robert and Aloy are coming back? Or can you not think that way? Do you have to just say, look, if we have an embarrassment of riches at the end, we're fine with that? You know, Schwarber ended up coming back, you know, from a knee injury in 2016. You want a good comp, guys. I mean, he didn't even play in any regular season game after the injury. He didn't play in any playoff game until the World Series. At least Madrigal should be back in a couple of months, and Robert and Aloy should be back. But this is...
You've got a World Series winning caliber starting rotation.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
So you can go either way. You can think, well, they can keep you afloat until guys hopefully get back, or you got to go for it in some manner, even if you do at the end of the day have decisions to make as to who to play because you've got so many guys.
Right.
I would, as a fan, lean towards door number two.
All right. After we talk to Dan, we'll play some Rick Hahn. As soon as we can turn that around, Jesse Rogers is on that Zoom call right now, again, reiterating the breaking news. A couple big injuries in Chicago sports today. Nick Madrigal tore his hamstring. Mm. He is on the 60-day DL, or IL, as they call it now. Also, Coby White had to undergo shoulder surgery. He suffered an injury here working out in the last few days. Over the weekend, I think that happened. And he will be evaluated in 4 months. So a lot going on. Dan Weider joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Dan, you're a big baseball fan. You coach your son as well. Can you believe some of the bad luck the White Sox have had?
Please use the hand tool to get yourself in the question queue. Up first will be Tom Waddle, ESPN 1000.
No. Yeah. Hey, Dan, what kind of ass is that Mark Silverman over at ESPN 1000?
Yeah, Tom, good question.
Thanks
for asking it. I think sometimes that Sylvie wants to – he has the best intentions, but sometimes gets out a little over his skis, but thanks for asking.
I would disagree.
We'll go next to Chris Black.
I think he has the worst of intentions.
How are you guys, by
Black,
the way?
Black, you're up with a you're question. Up. I'm going you're last, Black, I guess. Or if I'm going at all. Do you have a question?
We're
going
to end your thoughts on Sylvie sitting in the Zoom. We got two left. One will be Chris Black. The final question will be Adam Abdallah.
My question for you is this. Your thoughts on seeing Sylvie sitting in the Zoom after the Bears PR put his hand down. Your thoughts on seeing that in real time.
What I was trying to do was kind of crane my neck around a little bit and see if I could see the staples in his head to see how that's healing up after what it sounded like a pretty eventful day earlier in the week. And so, you know, tough break, you know, but we all go through tough days in this profession and in this sport. And so Mark's just got to, you know, control what he can control and move on to the next one.
Last question for Dan. We appreciate your time.
Dan, I was wondering, you've been on a lot of these Zooms for the entire year and a half here, Bears season on Zooms. Rate Mark Silverman's background. He was in the offices, the Waddle and Sylvie offices. Rate the background that that Sylvie had there.
I got to be honest, I didn't pay attention to the background.
Nor did the Bears.
Sounds just like Nagy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I will also tell you that a lot of these post-practice Zooms I am doing from the front seat of my car, so I'm not at liberty to criticize another's background. We don't have any time to get from the end of practice back to a place that has a wall. So a lot of times it's just headrest and the light on the ceiling of my car.
In all seriousness, Dan, are we getting any closer to the point where some of these Zooms are going to be eliminated? They served a purpose for a very long time, but I think the professional sports teams are using them, this is my editorial, to enhance their ability to continue to control the narrative coming out of their buildings.
I tweeted it out yesterday that we better be getting close to the end of this. Now, they still have utility, right? And they can be used in a pinch hitting role. And there are things that we can do with Zoom that will allow everyone to be a little bit more efficient and effective. You know, as a beat writer, one of the most painful things is flying back from a road trip on a Monday morning and having to make a beeline from O'Hare to Hallis Hall to get the head coach for, you know, 12 minutes in person at a podium. That's something that if we can stick with the Zoom world and just do that from anywhere and not have to go through all those headaches, it'll be great. But the fact of the matter is that we all on both sides of this, reporters and athletes and coaches, I think would prefer to have conversations rather than one question on one topic, quickly pivot to one question on another topic, quickly pivot to one question on another topic. You need to be able to have conversation and dialogue and back and forth and relationship building and all those things that come with human-to-human contact. And so my hope, with fingers crossed and arms raised to the sky, saying, please, 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 let us get back to a world where we can do our job in the traditional fashion.
Dan, is it my turn now? Can I ask a question? My hand is up.
Mark Silverman.
Yeah. We've run out of time. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation.
Dan, so the Justin Fields contract, I know most of these contracts are basic and they're slotted. But with what happened with Roquan, I think it was three summers ago, isn't it a sigh of relief that, hey, got this done early and Justin Fields is ready to go?
Oh, no question. I mean, obviously you want that box checked and you don't need any of the outside anxiety creeping into what you do. Not a surprise that they were able to get it done. They got the rest of the rookie class done a little while ago. They'll be locked and loaded for training camp. And listen, Justin Fields, we're getting to see more of him on the practice field. And I'm sure you guys have heard that there were some moments in yesterday's practice where he looked like a star NFL quarterback. And when you see those deep balls in person, I know I told you guys coming out of rookie camp that I wanted to see him throw deep more and didn't get the opportunity in rookie camp. Well, we had a pass yesterday, a deep touchdown pass to Demir Byrd, where you just see the ball come out of his hands. You see the trajectory of it. You see it drop in perfect stride to a receiver 60 yards downfield in the end zone. And you say, yeah, that's going to be nice for the Bears offense, right? And these are the things that Matt Nagy and his staff are just drooling over, hoping that they can get him ready to utilize that on a regular basis as soon as possible, because it's a pretty thing to behold, and it will add a dimension to this offense that it hasn't had in a long, long time.
Dan, we haven't spoken the name Anthony Miller very much. Is he at OTAs?
So he was at OTAs a week ago practicing. Yesterday he was at OTAs, but not in uniform. And Matt, defined it as he has a quote-unquote nick, and that it's nothing serious. They just like to be conservative with injury-related issues at this time of year and not press anything. He wouldn't detail for us what the injury was, what body part it was, what it wasn't. So nothing to be concerned about from an injury front. But obviously Anthony Miller has a lot to be concerned about in terms of whether he can carve out a role in this offense. The Bears, you know, I got to tell you this. As much as I was critical of the defensive turnout a week ago at OTAs, I've been impressed by the way the offense has showed up and gotten work done these first 2 weeks of OTAs. There's a lot of guys there that seem to be locked in the mindset that I'm asking them to be locked in on, right? Good. Like, let's not settle for mediocre. Let's try to be good. And they've been getting work done, and it's been impressive. And one of those guys getting the work done, Darnell Mooney spoke yesterday, Cole Kmet, another one of those guys, Sam Mustipher, another one of those guys. You sent a purpose, I guess, is a good word for what the offense has got going right now. And I've got some optimism, guys. I told my colleague Brad Biggs earlier today that I'm sipping from the Kool-Aid jug, and I'm not drinking from the liquor shelf yet, but sipping from the Kool-Aid jug, that this offense can be a top 20 offense in 2021. Good. And I'm going to stand by that for right now.
Dan, before we let you go, well, we read an article, or at least Jeremy Fowler had some stuff about top 10 guys who still could be traded. Two Bears were on that list, Nick Foles and Akeem Hicks. Do you expect before opening day, the Bears to move some, that maybe even Anthony Miller? Do you expect them to make any trades here going into training camp?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. You obviously have to find takers, and you have to figure out what you're willing to settle for with certain guys, right? And so you're always trying to make your roster better. I think this group as a whole needs to be ready to show up at training camp and ready to go. I mean, we talked last year, the abbreviated training camp was a problem. And so whoever is going to be part of your long-term plans, they better show up at the end of July at training camp with the purpose that we're talking about. Look, Nick Foles doesn't have a place here anymore. If the Bears can find a taker for Nick Foles and get a pick back, go for it. If they feel like they're done with Anthony Miller and they can get a pick back, go for it. But you better have quality depth behind Miller, because you don't have established depth at the receiver position. Hicks is a whole different animal here, where it's interesting to try to figure out what Akeem's got left, what the team thinks he's got left, what they need to do within this defense to get better. That's a guy that's been an absolute engine for you the last 4 or 5 years, and it would be hard to just let him go for pennies on the dollar. But if they're willing to dangle him, we'll see what the market looks like.
All right, Dan, good stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. See you guys.
Dan Weider, great stuff. And, I want to get back to the breaking news, the Nick Madrigal news. Again, 60-day IL. And the one thing they keep saying in everything that Rick Hahn has said, that it could be season ending. It could be if they elect for surgery. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to handle this, whether it's rest and rehab or the possibility if he undergoes surgery, it could be season ending. And then they're going to need a second baseman. And as other Sox fans know, they need bullpen help, especially in the right-handed side. So, they got some work to do here, and they have endured injuries, but they have lived up to the billing. And now what is Jerry going to allow Rick Hahn to do with several starters out for long periods of time? We'll continue to discuss that. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, welcome to everyone listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Whether you're stuck in traffic is back along all of our highways here in the Chicago area, or you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Another great way. Not only can you listen to the show, you can watch us in the First Midwest Bank studio. Good to see DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook, sponsoring the Twitch chat. And make sure you follow our station as well. Promo code WMVP for DraftKings. Man, Nick Madrigal out for at least 2 months. He's on the 60-day IL. He tore his hamstring. There is a possibility he misses the whole season. Listen to Rick Hahn here just moments ago.
We are placing Nick Madrigal on the 60-day IL due to a proximal tear of his right hamstring. At this point, we are still exploring options, and our doctors are talking to different specialists about the treatment protocol, which could potentially include season-ending surgery, or at the other extreme may be simply a matter of rest and rehabilitation as the hamstring heals. Regardless of which path we're on, he'll be inactive for a minimum of 6 weeks, thus the 60-day IL placement. To take Nick's spot on the active roster, we are selecting the contract of outfielder Brian Goodwin from AAA Charlotte. He'll be in uniform tonight. Obviously, the thought process behind that is providing us with another outfielder who can play all three positions, with the expectation that Lurie Garcia, for the time being, will be in the second base mix with Danny Mendick.
And Mendick's playing second base tonight. But again, like, it's an interesting scenario. It's a crappy scenario, but like, that's a wide range too. Like, hey, rest and rehab, and maybe he comes back, or if he undergoes surgery, he's out for the year. But there may be a chance he returns. There may be a chance Robert returns.
Similar,
there may be a
Robert
chance that Aloy. Are they the same thing?
Well, no, but I mean, like, Robert had the same thing in terms of we could either do the surgery or let it heal, but the same time frame would probably be in play for his return. The difference here is that I believe if Madrigal has the surgery, there will be no return in 2021.
Right. And then what happens if he rests and rehabs, and then, you know, you do damage to it, and then you ultimately have to have surgery? I'm sure that's a consideration, too.
I think all of it's a consideration. I don't think there's any guarantees that any of these guys will come back. The hope is there, but I don't think you can guarantee that at some point you'll get any of them back.
Now, I know they have good utility players. Like, we always talk about the Cubs guys and how they've stepped up. Jake Lamb's been good, and Lurie Garcia, as you just heard with Rick Hahn, can play a bunch of different positions. And finally, Adam Engel is back now to play some of the outfield. But, I mean, if you're Rick Hahn, all the conversation in this town has been about the Cubs and what they do at the deadline. Like, you don't need starting pitching, all right? So that's a good spot to be in at the deadline. You have a surplus of starting pitching, and with that, you can always win. You do need some bullpen help, but what are you doing position player-wise? Like, are you just looking for another utility guy who could start? Someone in the Twitch chat said, hey, do you go to your division rival, Kansas City Royals, and say Whit Merrifield, the guy who's been mentioned in this town before on the other side of town, do you go after Whit Merrifield and do you have him play second base for you? And if Madrigal comes back, so be it. You figure stuff out then. But are you looking for starters? Are you looking to make a big trade? Or are you looking, time's on your side too.
Yeah, I think you're open to everything. I do. I think that you consider it all. But you have a World Series caliber starting rotation. And again, you could go one of two ways. You could say they will keep us afloat till we get our guys back. Or you could say, I can't guarantee myself that any of these guys are coming back, and I can't waste this rotation. Next year, Lance Lynn is a free agent. Carlos Rodon is a free agent. Like, tomorrow is promised to nobody. That rotation is World Series capable. I would think that everything is on the table, and you don't look past 2021. You look at what's in the here and the now.
Eric Ostrowski pointed this out to us. He's cutting up the Hahn right now. And here's something. A lot of leg injuries, right, for the White Sox? So Rick Hahn was asked on the Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Like, can you explain all of these leg injuries, these muscle injuries that Sox players have faced so far here in the season?
We don't have any conclusions yet, Vinny, but it's an extremely fair question and one that, quite frankly, we're spending a lot of time on internally. Out of fairness, it's important to note that we've seen an increase of such injuries throughout the game. It's not just a White Sox problem, per se. There also is the element of bad luck or bad cluster luck of these things piling on top of each other. Those may be the explanations, but quite frankly, neither of them are particularly satisfying to us internally. Had numerous conversations on this topic with Kenny, with Jerry with both of us, with our sports performance people in different fields. both internally and externally, to try to get to some sort of explanation. Again, we're not there yet in terms of a conclusion, and there are some non-White Sox-related potential explanations in the end. But it's a fair question and one that, you know, troubles all of us here, and one that we're eager to find a solution to.
What does that mean, non-White Sox-related issues?
Is he pointing to the 60-game schedule last summer and the quick turnaround?
Maybe he's saying that has caused...
Players train these days differently?
Look, hamstring's different than a hip. What Robert did, I don't think you could just draw a straight line to what happened here to Madrigal.
You're going through Kopech has a hamstring, right?
He does, yes.
And then Adam Engel had a hamstring, I believe. What did Tim Anderson have? He had to his leg as well. He went on the IL, didn't he? Madrigal now.
Loy had a different injury. It was upper body, a pec, right?
It was either a pec or a bicep or something like that. Yeah, it's upper body. But I like that Rick Hahn wasn't like, what are you saying? This isn't an our problem. He is open. That's why Rick Hahn's one of the best GMs. That look, they've got a cluster of injuries, as he put it. Let's look into it. I heard DJ talking about a month ago driving in. I think they were playing the Cardinals. Was talking about another team, and they had a bunch of guys on the
obliques. There are a lot of obliques.
And DJ was saying, look, if I'm that team, I'm really doing some research. The Bears had an issue several years ago. And can we play the Ozzy thing too? This was Ozzy. I mean, it's interesting, again, on the way today's players train. They train year round. They get stronger. They get bigger. And guys like Tom Brady kind of, it's the opposite of that, where
flexibility is the most important thing for Tom Brady.
And Ozzy kind of pointed out, like, these players are built differently than they were in the 80s. Take a listen.
When you're fat, you don't pull anything. Yeah, when you fight, you don't pull anything.
So you put
some cheeseburger
deep
here.
Talk right there.
You can make a cheeseburger there.
So you're recommending everyone get fat.
I don't see no fat guy with bad hamstring. I said good looking man with a tight uniform, hauling everywhere. Like, yes, I play the game, brother. I never pull a hamstring. I can play every day.
But you weren't fat.
But while coming from Venezuela, I know I was eating too well.
Okay.
But look at me now.
He was rubbing his belly then.
Look, again, I've seen fat people pull hamstrings as well. I mean, so, like, I don't think that thin guys have cornered the market on pulled hamstrings. Look, I say this to you every day that we talk about anything fitness-wise. If I could go back in time, the one thing I would change about the way I trained was I would stretch more. Flexibility meant more than building muscle mass. You, especially for an extended period of time over a long season, you need to have that flexibility. Some guys are just tightly wound.
But it seems like more and more guys are tightly wound now. You know what I mean? And that's the issue. Are they training? Is all this excessive training actually hurting some guys? You know, because they are more muscular than they are before. And like Tom Brady, you look at Tom Brady with his shirt off and you're like, that dude is the GOAT. Like, Danny sent us a picture a couple weeks ago of Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii saying, and he sent it to Carmen and me. He goes, Aaron Rodgers has a body like Sylvie. He's like, but again.
Did you do a lot of shirtless activity around Danny? How does he know?
No, we've been at your pool before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the point is they don't look like ultra athletes, but they perform like ultra athletes. And maybe, again, do you need to get so bulked up? Do you need to work out?
I don't know. I think it would be premature to connect any dots, but I'm with you. I like what Rick Hahn is saying. We're going to look into it. I mean, we're not going to ignore
this. He's not
in
denial. Yeah.
The Twitchers want you guys to address, is it possibly PEDs that the players are now using at a different level that baseball can't keep up with? I'm assuming I've seen a bunch of people in the Twitch chat in the last couple of minutes say, Soft muscle injuries, something has to do with PEDs, and there's something going on.
Well, I would say this. I'm no doctor, and again, this is a good time to talk to Yurko because he's got an unusual amount of knowledge when it comes to stuff like this. Not
the
steroid
stuff.
Should
we wake him up from his nap?
But the physical, the injury stuff. I would say this. I wouldn't rule anything out. I also wouldn't point the finger at anybody. I think that when you, again, my lack of medical knowledge would lead me to not know specifically the problem, but I could say what a lot of people had trouble with in the steroid era, your muscles got too big, and what ended up happening is you started to have joint injuries and tendon injuries because your tendons couldn't handle the muscle mass. It wasn't natural. It wasn't necessarily tons of hamstring pulls or quad pulls or stuff like that. It was other stuff.
But my question is, are they working out not with baseball activities, but more like with those weights?
I don't know what these guys are doing in the offseason in terms of working out.
Have you seen Nick Madrigal? You think he's
he doesn't.
He's putting up numbers in the gym? I mean, come on.
I've never seen Nick Madrigal like in tight-fitting clothing.
Shorts, what he looks like.
In short, what do you mean in shorts? What do you
This is a leg injury. You don't like some guys have big legs or they've worked their leg guys.
Is Nick
Madrigal
a muscle bound small guy or is he just kind of a normal bodied small
looks
guy?
Looks like a normal looking.
It's hard
dude.
To tell with baseball unis on some.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's. When we come back, I want to replay that, Chris. What we just heard again, and I want to zero in on what Rick Hahn said about non-White Sox things. And what should the White Sox do? All right, let's project ahead here 7 weeks. At the deadline, how big of a position player? We know they need bullpen help. How big of a position player should they go after? Second base, left field, center field. Adam Eaton's not very good. 332-3776.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, wondering what the White Sox are going to do position player-wise with players who could come back but are out for a long, long time. This is the third position player, everyday player. Guys who are dynamic at what they do. Aloy, Robert, and look, Nick Madrigal has the most hits on the team. He's batting over 300. He doesn't strike out. He does well. You talk about a guy who can stress a playoff pitcher. Like, that's what I was really looking forward to, and I hope that still happens, that when the Sox do get in the postseason, that, you know, you got to wear out a pitcher in the postseason. You got to make him throw a lot of pitches. And a guy who hits as well as Nick Madrigal does with two strikes, that's annoying as hell. And I think he can make an even greater impact there, even though he's not the, quote, typical hitter of 2021. But he is out at least. Like, they say he's going to be, that means he won't do any activities for 6 weeks, right? He's on the 60-day IL, which means he can't come back for 2 months. It is still open that he could have season-ending surgery with the torn hamstring that Rick Hahn just announced. Let me take Jordan, and then I want to revisit the Rick Hahn statement that he made about some of the non-White Sox things when asked about all these leg injuries. Jordan and Maryville. What's on your mind? You're on Waddle and Sylvie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, you know, I'm not giving up on this year, but 2022 is going to be a hell of a year. It's just these injuries are starting to just pile up so bad. But one thing I was thinking about, far as a position player that, you know, it's dear to your heart, Sylvie, is Nick Castellanos.
Castellanos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that would be a perfect addition. He has a couple of opt-out contracts in the next couple of years. Somebody that can, you know, maybe solidify that lineup. But they're going to have to get a bat, and of course, obviously, some bullpen help. But they're definitely going to need to get a position player, and maybe that could be a good option.
We were just talking to Nick
Castellanos. Yeah. If you are a White Sox fan, Nick Castellanos comes in a very reasonable contract as well, considering the production. 4 years, $64 million. I believe that was the contract the Reds signed him to.
Right, and it's Jordan said he has some opt-out, and he may opt out from this deal because he's so good offensively.
He can make more.
And maybe he can make more. He's getting a little bit older, but we were admiring again the other day. We were looking at it yesterday. Just his numbers are what's he hitting, 353?
I believe he leads the majors in batting average.
With a 415 on base?
Yeah, Nick Castellanos is hitting 357 on the year. He's just ahead of Jesse Winker, so who is also on the Reds, who's hitting 346. How my team isn't a game or two above 500 is... Anyway, but yes, Castellanos has an OPS of 1.038.
It's incredible. But because of the Central, like we've talked about, would the Reds be willing to deal?
No. Well, I don't think the Cubs and the White Sox are looking at this completely differently, right? And I don't think Rick Hahn should look at this any differently than if these guys were healthy. Like, it's weird to say, but I still think they can win the division.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of these guys come back, they should be all right.
But what
this
if they
assuming
don't?
Assuming they come back. Okay, well, then eventually you just have too many injuries and this, you just...
Well, but you can only fix it by July 31st is the point.
I know that.
You have to gamble. You have to roll the dice.
I know that. But how much are you willing to give up? You're not giving up Kopech. You have...
No.
You don't have a lot in the farm system because all these farm system guys are now playing. That's what Rick Hahn said at the beginning of the season. Like,
that's why
they
didn't do more in free agency.
That's why we didn't do more, because we want these guys to play. So eventually, like, you're not going to give up a ton just to try to piecemeal together a team to get you to the postseason, to put you over the hump, to ensure that you get there. Eventually, you're just going to have to say, well, hopefully we can get by, and if we don't, maybe next year.
Like, I think it's very infrequently, do you have a rotation that looks like this.
And then Jordan said 2022. Look, Kopech could slide in there seamlessly in 2022 and be really good, and maybe Crochet then goes in to be a starter too. But the way Rodon is pitching, the way Lance Lynn's a Cy Young candidate, he's on the last year of his deal.
Giolito's still in your rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it is. What you have in the rotation right now, I don't believe you can take for granted.
My point is that you can't rule out a big move, in my opinion, because Lance Lynn is no guarantee to come back. Neither is Rodon.
Manager.
Right. This is a rotation built to win a World Series.
Let me ask you guys this. The Sox have lost two major pieces to the offense early, Aloy and Robert. But yet, in hitting, they're fourth in average in all baseball. They're second on base percentage. OPS, they're sixth.
It's been incredible.
Runs scored, they're fifth.
Right.
So you remove Madrigal from the equation. Are they still a top 10 offensive team? They won't be as good, but clearly without the other two, the drop-off really isn't. They're top five for the most part in all these categories offensively.
It's right. Also a smaller – I mean, like, if you project this out over the course of the year, are you willing to say – that this group, without Madrigal, without Robert, and without Aloy, that is going to be the case over the course of 150 to 162 games.
Chris, you're right. You still have Tim Anderson, who's great. You still have Jose Abreu, who's great. You have Moncada, who's having a great year. Vaughn has been everything that they thought he could be maybe sooner as a pure hitter.
But if you point out also what Adam was talking about, that your record against the lower level teams in the league is very good, but you've struggled against the better teams. That may become more of an issue as you go on throughout the course of the season when you're down so many bats.
All right, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6 to talk some Sox with the Madrigal injury out at least a couple of months. Can we play the Rick Hahn bite here about leg injuries, right? Vinny Duber is the one who asked him the question. Take a listen.
We don't have any conclusions yet, Vinny, but it's an extremely fair question and one that, quite frankly, we're spending a lot of time on internally. Out of fairness, it's important to note that we've seen an increase of such injuries throughout the game. It's not just a White Sox problem per se. There also is the element of bad luck or bad cluster luck of these things piling on top of each other. Those may be the explanations, but quite frankly, neither of them are particularly satisfying to us internally. Had numerous conversations on this topic with Kenny, with Jerry, Jerry with both of us, with our sports performance people in different fields, both internally and externally, to try to get to some sort of explanation. Again, we're not there yet in terms of a conclusion, and there are some non-White Sox-related potential explanations in the end. But it's a fair question and one that, you know, troubles all of us here and one that we're eager to find a solution to.
So, again, there are some non-White Sox explanations in there right at the end. And I don't know, some people on the Twitch chat, as we mentioned, like HGH. But, again, I think what he's talking about is what someone mentioned earlier about the 60-game schedule, the spring trainings, and just the weirdness of the way everything has been.
I would assume based on the pandemic, maybe guys have done more on their own, obviously. Maybe there's been less, you know, overseen of what's happened. I don't know what the situation is, but I think that there's been some conversations about injuries are up across baseball, right? A lot of obliques, a lot of things with pitchers. It's definitely worth looking into.
All right, so we have what's at stake coming up. You want me to get the callers right now, Abdallah? Will that be easier for you? I want to continue the topic, too, on the White Sox. And if you want to get in on the White Sox and what they should do, what they should be looking for, 332-3776. Should we get callers now or after the break? Right now. All right, so callers 20 and 40. The game tonight, are we gambling on the White Sox game tonight? Or are we doing a little NBA?
Well, you could always do the Nets in the Bucks.
That's been intriguing. Are you good with that, doing some NBA?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, the White Sox-Blue Jays.
You want to do White Sox-Blue Jays rubber game?
White Sox are a dog. It's a big series against the winning team.
You're right. We are the home of the White Sox.
Yeah.
Caller 20. You get a chance to choose. Do you want the White Sox or the Blue Jays tonight? 312-332-3776. Caller 40, you'll get whichever team caller 20 turns down, and then you'll have a chance to win some steak. We'll tell you from whom and where. All coming up, and continue to take your Sox calls next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I think Kenny Williams wants Jimmy Rollins back. He's going through his Rolodex of all these old players that he was infatuated with at one point that he brought to the White Sox.
Did it take you all commercial break to come up with that one?
No, I just thought. I saw some Philly highlights on television.
You immediately
thought
of Jimmy Rollins.
And I thought of Jimmy Rollins. I'm like, didn't Jimmy Rollins go to camp with the White Sox one year as their shortstop?
Right. Yeah.
And I don't even know if he made the team out of camp. He may have for like a cup of coffee. Like it was the typical Kenny Williams, Ken Griffey, all the old
Manny,
all the old guys. Canseco was a sock. You remember that?
Yes.
We were talking on Crosstalk Unhinged. Chris Sabo. Years ago, that he was a cup of coffee White Sox guy.
Tony La Russa was asked about adding players through trades and whether or not they'd have input, and he said, "I expect myself and my coaching staff to have a lot of input."
Yeah, of course.
Why don't you think Tony is not looking at this as a long-term thing? Tony's probably, look, we got a chance to win this now. Have you seen my rotation? I'm not going to be doing this forever. Let's go. Let's win now.
He's been in consulting on a lot of front offices. I think he knows some of the personnel well, too. Like, I think he was a big proponent of Jake Lamb making this team. All right. So What's at Stake is brought to you by our great friends at GT Prime. They're at 707 North Wells Street, and they are absolutely awesome. For more information, visit GTPrimeRestaurant.com. The Boca Restaurant Group brings you GT Prime, the same ones that we talk about with Swift and Sons. It's the award winners, Rob Katz and Kevin Bame.
Same crew.
They are awesome. And their chef and partner, Giuseppe Tentori, not only has he created GT Prime, but remember, GT Oyster has been in business now for 10 years.
Drove right by there today on my way to work.
There you go. Stop in next time for a great dinner. Also, GT Prime available for takeout and delivery, but 100% capacity coming here tomorrow.
Let's do this.
Cannot wait. 3-3-2-3. Oh, who did caller 20 take? Did they take the Sox?
Yes, they did. All right. Jose from North Aurora took the White Sox, and Ryan begrudgingly got the Blue Jays.
Can I also, David Chow, I believe he was the doctor, team doctor in the NFL, just
for the Chargers.
For the Chargers, when responding, every now and again he chimes in. He says worst type of hamstring tear. Surgery a consideration, but even without surgery, it could extend to be season ending. Again, he has no knowledge. He has not touched Nick's hamstring, but from a doctor's perspective, you know, obviously
he's been on point with I know he's been questioned too, but he's been on point more times that I've seen, especially with some Chicago injuries that he just judges from afar.
Look, I think you got a lot of information from Rick Hahn. This is going to be an extended period of time. You're going to be without Nick.
Rick in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good. What about you?
A little bummed out because if you think about it, our pitching staff is awesome, but potentially we're going to lose Rodon and Lynn next year. So it's got to be this year or things can change very quickly for next year. I understand we got Kopech and a few other young guys, but they're not proven like these guys are. So Hans really got to pull the trigger, and you got to pay high. You got to pay high.
Look, I tend to agree with Rick. You don't know. You may be able to at some point come to terms with Lance Lynn on an extension or a deal next year or Rodon, but those guys are going to want to visit free agency. There's no guarantee that this rotation will look the same or be as good. So I think you got to look at everything possible.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we play that here now? Another edition of unnecessary censorship. You don't want to do that now, Chris?
We don't have time right now.
Oh, we don't have time? All right. Because I want to continue the White Sox calls, 312-332-3776, with the Nick Madrigal injury. If you're just getting into your car, and Len Casper is going to join us here at 5:30, I should say, from the ballpark. So he'll add some context to this. This is very interesting on how you will navigate through a lot of this.
They've got some organizational decisions to make, for sure. Yeah.
Can I have a word too? I wanted to do longer, but with the Madrigal injury taking center stage, the Scottie Pippen book is something that I wanted to hit on. I don't know if you guys heard that Scottie Pippen is coming out with a book.
Scottie Pippen wrote a book. Your fast jokes on what Scottie was writing about is probably something we could have some fun with at some point.
Is what?
Asking Scottie Pippen's got a book coming out. What would be in that book?
What would be in the book or jokes. The title of the book?
Whatever it is. Okay. There's plenty of jokes attached to that.
So it's called Unguarded.
Okay.
And he put up on his Instagram, you know, he's not happy with the way the Last Dance went. He felt like the story wasn't told accurately. I love Scottie. And I think the years that go by, you gain more appreciation for what he was able to do and how he was a modern-day player in the 90s. Like, he'd fit perfectly now, the point forward. He was so smart. He was a coach on the floor. There is so much greatness to Scottie Pippen. And I even think those who questioned if he was a top 50 player back in the day, many people have even said maybe he's even top 30 all-time. He's that good, that versatile. I'm just saying, this is the perfect opportunity with those who live in glass houses. Okay? They shouldn't throw stones.
Oh, so you're expecting some stone throwing?
Oh, yeah. I think he feels a little betrayed by Michael.
Okay.
And I think that he's going to point out some stuff about Michael's leadership and stuff like that. I'm just saying that a guy who sat during a playoff game for 1.8 seconds, a guy who put off surgery in his into the regular season because he didn't want to ruin his summer, a guy who many times has said that he wanted to be traded from the Bulls, a guy who bullied Jerry Krause, a guy who has a reputation for not tipping service workers. I'm just saying, I love Scottie Pippen, but I would be careful, Scottie, when you live in a huge glass house.
The last dance coming to bookstores soon.
So 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Take some more of your Sox calls. We'll replay some Rick Hahn. We've got another edition of unnecessary censorship from the morning show. And Benetti had a really good rant last night, too. It's all coming up in 2 minutes.